The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey guys, what's up? This is a crazy episode I'm going to bring you today, but it's a very important episode. And quite frankly, these guys should be in my garage with me right now because they've been in there a lot. But you know, they're over in Canada and you know what's going on down there. And we're over here in America. So we're going to do on the Zoomy Zoom. Please welcome, I would say two of my, would you say best friends? Could I say best? I mean,
wow, that's a bad for Stu.
I love that you're doing all that. I mean, I even if I die tomorrow, Stu will always have my back. And I think Adam is becoming like one of my besties, even though I don't see him much, but he gets me.
Wow.
I feel like every time we like see each other, though, it's like we never left each other, which is nice.
Yes, that's a real friendship.
Ever since Adam got that money from the sponsor for the New Year's
we'll
special,
talk about you've that liked later. Him. Let him introduce us already.
He did. Please welcome Stu Stone, a.k.a. Stu the Jiznew, the Jitty, and Adam Rodness, Adam Riznew, the Ritty, a.k.a. 5-7 Films in the building.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is great.
This is the first time. You going DJ Khaled with that horn.
That's a crowd.
Yeah. Well, you know, good optics, man.
So let's... Adam actually got me one of my last credits. Everybody listening right now. So there's so much. It should be like a four-hour pod. Probably can't do more than an hour, but it's a long backstory here. But Adam is now... Adam, you just won... Adam basically went from getting me a cup of this back in the mid to late aughts. Would you say mid aughts?
I think it was like a 2006-7 run.
2004. Now I saw the first time I saw you in the back of my house by the patio, and it was the little man and butter. And then the next day there was a third guy here drinking on my fucking bottle. I'm like, who's that guy? I go, oh, that's Roddy. And I'm like, who the fuck is Roddy? And they're like, oh, our boy, he just got off you were in immigration for like 2 days, and then and the next thing I know, you're talking to the cold ones. I'm like, who? And like, you took the cold ones, and I'm like, all right, well, she's drunk, so that's gone. Oh, edit, and then Rod, you took cranberry. I had that cabana. I made my first cabana. You took the cranberry. You took the cold ones, and you took. I think you took like a ice snifter. Like it was the only ice, and you made it your glass. And I was like, who the fuck is this fucking punk?
But also,
and Stu's like, my boy, it's my boy, it's my boy. So the pool was just open though, so I figured I'd just go to the pool.
Dude, those are crazy. Those are like the most crazy. Everyone
that,
asks
that
me
pool,
like,
pool, by the way, what a pool that was. I forgot about that pool.
Insane.
A little grotto there in the back you had at your
old. Roll letter, pour some out. Didn't want me to get the pool because he said it was a waste of money. My old assistant, who I love very much, one of my best friends, passed away, unfortunately. God bless his soul. But he didn't want me to have a pool. And I say, Chris, this is why we should have a pool, to have the good life. Guys, I like to bring the podcast to a screeching halt.
Don't halt it. It was going so well.
Listen, there's too much to say. So we all have the same break. So we have to talk and then listen. So I just want to say a point. Let me get it all out and then you can respond. So people ask, oh, what have you been up to lately? What have you been up to? It's like, what? Did you see Tremors 5? Oh, no, I didn't see that. Okay. Did you see Tremors 6? And I'm like, they're like, no. And I'm like, did you see Tremors 7? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, that had fucking Napoleon Dynamite. That wasn't me. So what do you, so But one of the things I get fucking, besides Saving Babies movie, my Roe v. Wade, the other thing that gets brought up all the time is my Usher video that little Addy over here got me. So Adam, you, Adam, it went from basically getting me coffee to becoming the, would you say the biggest getting music video producer?
Went from getting you coffee to getting you Usher.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll go with, yeah, we'll go with the biggest music video producer. We'll go with that title.
Wow. Are you really giving yourself that?
He just gave it to me. Okay. He just said, was that what you would, I said, yeah. My, I mean, according to Jamie.
Well, but he, didn't you just win best video of the year?
We're nominated, so the awards are coming.
Hopefully
up.
You didn't just jinx it.
But maybe by this time when people, you know, it could be MTV Video Awards.
I can brag for him. So it was, he's worked with Drake and Rihanna and, you know, Migos and Eminem and you name it, Black Eyed Peas.
That's 100%. When we needed those guys on the album, Adam couldn't get him.
No.
But now, when he's in the video, he can get him. And then, like, now I'm like, get them in my video. He's like, can I have more Patron? Now I'm like, need them. And he's like, hey, do you want to be an extra? It's like, that's the world. It's God's cool
I think
joke.
The thing in the Usher video was actually hilarious. I was laughing.
It was good.
That was a great day.
It was a great day. I went in. I shot within an hour. I was out in 2 hours. Had the garlic parmesan wings. Had a couple Thai wings. Had $1,000 in an envelope. Donut got a picture with Usher. She melted. We bounced.
Yeah. And
it's
Usher,
not a bad day.
And Usher was, I remember dying outside. And you're like, what do I do? I'm like, just, you're here to be you. Just, you know, I guess like just, you're knocking on Usher's door. And the moment you opened your mouth and started saying, Ursh.
That was the best.
Ursh. And doing
he's the greatest guy. Him,
say to him, like, do you mind if I call you Ursh, or you just did it?
I just did it.
I literally died. It was so funny.
Well, no, I thought like Ursher. Remember like Ursh, Little John? I always felt like he had Ursh, so I thought Ursh he was cool with Ursh.
Yeah.
Ursh. Then I was like dancing, and then he was kind of co-signing it, and then he was a little off about it, but then he kind of co-signed it again, and I just felt a little self-conscious. But I could hit it.
That's like
I could hit Maurice one atop Tim and Chris Brown and Michael Jackson's Ghost.
Think of some of
three.
Think of some of the talented dancers that you have danced for. Usher is one of them. God rest his soul. Turbo, right?
God, dude, you're right. No, that was.
Ozone.
God rest his soul. Ozone. Damn, dude, we already poured out two so far.
But just like you, but you are so confident in your dancing that you'll.
That's what
I'm not terrible, and I can hit an eight count. But then you know, I'm more better with the creative of it. Just going
probably
where I
like
go.
Very good at a wedding.
Yeah, I'm not bad at it. I did well at Heidi. Remember Heidi? I did good at her wedding. A couple of pops, and then I wrapped eight bars, and they didn't. Those hillbillies didn't know what hit them. They thought fucking Nas was in the house. They were like, "Oh my god!" So yeah, that was. Dude, that's so funny. I was playing golf the other day, and I saw a wedding. It was in the middle of my fucking shot, and I was like, "I probably should just quit everything and just become a wedding DJ, like the hype man."
Do you know my parents are wedding singers?
I'd watch that show.
My parents
really.
That's how they met. They're wedding singers. My mom, Jody.
Larry Rodness Orchestra.
They have a band together called the Larry Rodness Orchestra.
Starring Jody Glassman.
Yes. On lead.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's how they made their living for years when I was a kid.
Like, Rodness has heard his parents sing, I've had the time of my life.
That's just
probably
her, like,
more times than you've heard the actual song.
Well, that's just her cooking broccoli in the microwave. That's the song she sings. She just loves to sing on everything, every appliance.
That's insane. Wait, so you're like Edie and the other guy down here at the Los Feliz Tavern down here. You know that people that have been doing it for like 40 years, Edie and someone. That's crazy. Sure.
Yeah.
You were born into a lounge act.
I was. Well, no, they were like, if you were Jewish in Toronto, you had the Larry Rodness Orchestra. If you know,
it was a big to-do.
Back in the day, I would say like if you were born in the 50s, 60s, like my parents either sang at your bar mitzvah or did your wedding. It was a simcha. Sometimes they did both because it did such a great job the first time.
He's not lying.
So you really were born into this business.
I was born right into it. And my mom's, it was a voice actress. My dad writes, he's a novelist and writes books. And you know, and then they have like their Joe jobs to keep things afloat. But yeah, I was born right into it. My mom won Star Search in Canada when she was 20 years old.
I just heard this for the first
time. The Du Maurier Search for the Stars. She was number one. She won.
As what? Singer?
Dancer and singer, yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, that's an amazing tape.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I'm telling you right now.
How do you feel? Did she get a deal?
She had a bunch of deals, and she turned it all down because she wanted to have a family.
Wow.
A tear.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. That's a sad. It's true. She didn't want to travel. She didn't want to like have the insanity. She wanted to have
Thinking a murderer coming out
and be a mom.
But now, bro, you went. Why are you going 98.3 sound effects? Sounds of Milwaukee. I love this radio setup you got here.
Thank you.
He's really
look,
good.
There's a million things we can talk about. You guys are interviewing me right now, but. Hold on. I just wanted to get my fucking point out. This is why we need a 5-hour.
Back to Adam, yeah, the videos. I appreciate
Well, like three, test, like, I'm just do you know, in the black lady world, can I say black lady world? I'm basically Brad Pitt. And like, I can't walk through TSA. You know I am, Stu. They go, oh, shit, that'd be red, right? So I, three TSA people said, oh, damn, I saw you in that Usher video. Wow. Oh, shit like that. Yes. And Vivica, when I did her pod, was like, what you doing in that Usher video, Jamie? You're so funny. Like, Vivica, like, had this shit on repeat.
So
and
she stupid.
Was, it was like, we got to figure out this one. But, yeah. But I'm dead serious, bro. Like, mad. Like, I cannot go past 43rd and Crenshaw without somebody shouting out Usher. Like, yo, you in the Usher video. That's like my biggest credit since like,
that's so
you
crazy.
Know, since like Ghosty. I'm serious. It's awesome. It's crazy.
There's, and there's, you know, there's you're accompanied by some like, you know, big names in that video. Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, for sure.
Snoop came out.
Did you see JD and Snoop when you were there?
I think you just missed.
No, but this is so fucking weird. This is how it all comes full circle. You ready? Just don't interrupt my thought. Because it's gone down. So I was getting my last licks in. Swingers, stay with me. I'm like getting my last like 2 a.m. meal in, like 2 days after the video. And who's two boots, like half asleep talking to another couple? Jermaine Dupri. So I don't know if he was at a club or had a meeting or whatever. He's just eating. And I'm like, I think that's Jermaine Dupri, but I couldn't tell. And I heard he was in the video, but I haven't seen him in a while. So I just let him eat his chili. And then what's crazy is Adam's up for best video with Biebs and Drake and John John, my boy, who you know, I think is up or he did a Biebs other video where Biebs was a boxer. John trained him for all that.
Yeah, that's
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So Adam, John, it's all tied together.
Wow.
Wait, John who?
That,
John Donahue used to come to my house all the time. He's a big stunt coordinator now.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what did he do on that video?
He did the stunts.
He's Bieber's trainer. He went to his house, like Bieber's house, and gave him like two boxing lessons. Says the kid's an amazing athlete. Dude. Boom, did it.
That's awesome.
The All-American boy. John.
The All-American John. John's the All-American boy. And you guys were the lazy Canadians. Remember that?
Yeah, I sure do. Pour some out.
But Core, who's saying that is Trugzilla. So, you know, we got his issues.
Sure.
The guy just had a baby. I didn't even know it. Like, here's how you find out Trugzilla had a baby. There's a picture of a baby on his Instagram. Who got pregnant? What? There's a baby on his gram. I'm like, why is there a baby on your gram? Oh, I had a baby. What? Okay.
That's how it happens.
Should we edit that out? Look how quiet you get. The fucking world's ending, bro. Say anything. It he's don't very, matter.
He's very PC.
It's but this isn't like you're not pissing off like Sony Picture Chairman. You're pissing off Trugzills. So by the way, I did my bars. I don't know where the fuck that video was. Hurry up! Hurry up! Hurry up! Where's it at?
Same. I got the same thing.
Hey, wasn't I included on that too?
No, that's a different video.
Oh, something else. Multiples.
Well, let me get into this because we could talk all day. We're gonna have to do another follow up. By the way, Stu, shout out. People say one of their favorite Bert episodes. Like three people come up to me like, I love you and Stu on the Bert cast. So shout out to Bert for having us for a 4-hour marathon and people loved it. And you got me into like starting to sit down with everybody and doing the podcast circuit. So love you for that.
Happy that you did that. It's people need to hear you. Your free flow is unrivaled.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Free from easy. Now, look, let's just get into this. So, guys, here's why they're really here. We'll get another personal pod later. When are you guys coming to L.A.?
Soon. If you send it, you got room for us or what?
I don't want to go down another rabbit hole because I want to talk about your movie. Brooklyn. Remember Brooklyn? Not Brooklyn 1, Brooklyn 2.
Yeah.
Brooklyn 2 is deep where they make poutine. Somewhere in Ontario, like on a farm.
Oh, are you talking about,
Geddes.
But is that real?
I don't know. It was a back alley, one night in Brooklyn, whatever. Long story, not boring. She's literally can't leave her porch without like guys coming, Oya, get back in your house there. Like, is that happening? Because yes. I talked to Brooks.
No, it's nothing like that. No.
Well, what province is she in?
She's in the same province as us.
She's not in T-Dot. She's out by like,
he's in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same as it is here.
Ottawa's part of Ontario.
Yeah.
So there's the...
Well, isn't it a little locked down or no?
It was locked down for a long time, for sure. And there's still mask mandates here, for sure. And everybody's got to get vaccinated here. Like, they like are really pushing hard on that here. And that's...
But like, there's pictures of Levine taking pictures outside of his window looking sad at a Maserati.
Yeah, but those pictures existed anyway. But Levine is fine. Everybody's fine.
Levine's fine.
Although, listen, he's the type of guy that would maybe be at like a party that
I'll tell you could go out.
No, but Levine just said, I want to go to Vegas because I have a show of Vegas. And he's like, sure. I'd love to go, but I can't. So he's making me believe he's locked in his condo.
Oh, well, I don't think you can cross the border if you don't have a reason to cross the border.
No. You could go.
You can now?
Levine-ish?
No, you could go.
It sounds Levine-ish. Let's just talk about your movie. So, okay, I didn't know how hard it was for you to travel, but Adam seems like he was traveling, and you did too. Adam seems to travel more than you do, so I don't know what's up. So, listen, let me just set this up. So, guys, everyone listening, it's, you know, people ask you to come to screenings all the time. And so Stu and Adam started this company kind of low key called 5/7 Films, because they're both, you know, you got the vertically, that's where they're at, and it's okay. They're good people. And so you guys made your first movie, which was fantastic, which was a personal piece, and it was called Jack of All Trades. And it was a very deep piece, a moving piece. It was about your father. It was about, you know, your life, really. It was like baseball cards with a backdrop, but it was really like searching for your father and your relationship with your father. And it's a very deep, I was very proud. I hate to say proud because I'm not your fucking aunt, but I was very happy to see you start to show the vulnerable side of you, because I think that's what makes you beautiful, bro. You gotta let that out. But your pain comes out in your art. That's very true about you. You may not let a lot of people see it, but that was a painful piece for you to make, and it was awesome. So Jack of All Trades.
Thanks, man.
I believe, is it still on Netflix?
It's not. It's on
It's on everywhere.
Tubi.
I'm on Tubi.
Yeah.
So look, it's an amazing first. I mean, you guys, it's an amazing jump into it. You know, it's like your own first heckler and stuff. And now, you know, some people have the sophomore slump. So I guess as the vid was happening and Miss Rona came, you guys were knuckled down here and you made another movie that I hate to say it's better, but it's so fucking good. Like, just trust me. I was working all day and I stopped to do this pod. So, you know, it means something to me. Yeah. And it's just so unique, so original, so outside of left field, so hard to pull off. It's incredible. It's and I watched it. I went to a screening when I was sick. Everyone says I was negative, but who knows? It could have been a super spreader, but it was a month ago. You're fine. And I was outside, and I think even Millie was like handing out drinks. Like, there was a lot of stuff there, bro, that it could have got me in a lot of damage. You know what I'm saying? But here we are in the middle of Hollywood with every head from Toronto to LA, every Jewish geography head that connects our whole group together. And we were all just stunned. And I was like, what the fuck was this? This was so good. So the movie's called Making of a Murderer, and I want to promote it, but I don't know faking, how to talk about it.
It's called Faking a Murderer.
Oh, but I don't know how to talk about it without, I don't want to give anything away. So let's talk about it very gingerly.
Sure.
So first of all, everyone listening, it's, would you say this? It's got Jamie Kennedy Experiment. It's got Making of a Murderer. It's got Borat. There's all these different trails of lineage in the movie. Would you agree with that?
For sure.
Absolutely.
How did it start?
It was
a combination of things.
Yeah, it was a bunch of things. I mean, we were watching these true crime shows. Like, you know, there's like a ton of these amazing shows that are on Netflix and other, you know, platforms like The Jinx.
That's the best one.
The Staircase. Evil Genius. And we're like, dude,
Making a Murder, obviously.
That it was so good and so captivating. Like, this stuff has to be like really produced and written. Like,
it's just so well edited too. Like, those shows just like keep you like hanging on. Like, you're like literally like can't go. It's like 7 a.m. and you've watched like 8 hours and you're like, fuck sleep. Did he do it?
The Jinx is incredible.
It's right? The best, right? So we're like, okay, like, what if we, you know, let's just step back. What if we like were be able to like create this fictional thing and then kind of write around and use real people to push the narrative.
Why did you just say that? I got to edit that out.
Why? I don't know.
Because it's not fictional.
No. We're.
Wait. Hold on. This is what happened. Adam found a video online in real life. No, in real life he did. And by the way, people just go watch the movie Faking a Murderer on Apple TV or Amazon Prime. Then come back and watch this and then we can talk freely. Okay, so this is gonna be spoilers. Spoilers are gonna be here. So Jamie,
you want to give them out?
Watch it. Well, no, I just want to say that Adam found this video online, for real.
If you don't want spoilers, don't keep listening to this.
Yeah, there's gonna be spoilers. Fuck it.
Okay, well, then we'll talk freely because that's what I wanted to do. Not talk.
We want to talk about what it is, but not talk about what it is. Like, we could talk about that. There's, you know, we use real people to push this narrative of the story forward.
Here's what it is. You found a video online.
In real.
Oh, it also has Paranormal Activity, Blair Witch. It's got so many different lineages.
But also it's got like so much truth weaved into it, which is like
100,000%.
Why don't you tell us what you think from your end? Because it's hard for
us. That's a good idea. Yeah. So here I am. So I walk into the movie, which everyone should. And I got two guys. I, you know, have the pleasure of knowing you, and you're like, come see my movie, man, come see my movie. And I just came from fucking Poughkeepsie, and I'm fucking 2 planes in, and I'm freaking out, and there's another variant at 6 and another variant at 8, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck's going on? And then everyone's there, and I gotta see Kenny telling me, but there's no more beds in the ICU and all this shit. And then I was like, and then little Jamie's outside and he's wearing 4 masks. There's a lot going on. And you're laughing. Just laughs, dude. So I go and we go across from like the spot that like S. Evil used to be at, Super You Know Who, where we met her. And I'm like, damn, like this was our spot.
It really was.
And you're like, and it was, I'm literally looking at like, you know, like, what's the word?
Was it called? Element.
I'm looking at Element and I'm thinking of just like that 70s show. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about like some of the culprits and like, and then some of the drama that your old sack of potatoes gave me there at one time. So, and I'm like, oh God, this is bringing me back. And Donut's like, this is neat. And I'm like having PTSD. And and then some like singer that like Butter's trying to like hit up has like been hitting Donut up on her Insta, which I didn't even know. There's a lot going on here, right? I know, but it's good. It's common. So anyway, this is like our pod for no one else. Listen, the movie, I had no idea what it was. She had no idea either. So we're sitting there and the movie starts and it's basically like, you guys found this tape. It had a weird thing to it where you felt like this guy was a duplicitous character. Like maybe he was a murderer, or he was a creep or whatever. And the tape was very real. So you guys wanted to find this tape and find this guy and see if there was a documentary there. But the movie is about your journey to find the guy and get the documentary funded, and then what actually happens. And I'm like, this is crazy, because there's people in the movie that I know, but other people won't. And I'm like, this is real. So though there is no fourth wall, like what you guys are doing, it's such a work. It's a work beyond a work beyond a work. It's got WWE in there. It's got Tommy Blanchett. It has so many levels. It's self-referential, like Scream. It has a lot. I mean, dude, I'm not kidding on all of these things. And I'm like, you know, obviously you're a fan of my work, so I appreciate it. So no, but like, I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm going, where is the scripted part? Like, where? And I know there's Curb in there, and I know you guys probably have your idea of what you want to do and blowing up, and then you bring it in the real people, and they don't. So you work their angle. And I think I caught the actors, which is very, 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 very few. And I just want to tell people that it's incredible. The journey of the movie, even towards the end, I was still on board. I'm still kind of on board. Like, I kind of don't know. Like, even though I met people, I still kind of think it's, I don't want to say what it is, but I still kind of believe what was happening. You know what I mean? So,
which is great. I think that's like, well, thank you, because that's a great kind of like a synopsis of what this movie kind of is. And
right. It was a good synopsis.
It was.
It's just so original. That's what's crazy. Funny. It's so hard to be original with the sequels and the remakes and the hack on the hack on that. This is fucking super original. Go ahead.
Get it. It's, you know, I think that it's so awesome that you said, you know, you still are holding on, right? Like, you're still riding like that. You know, there's people that are in the movie that are like you, that still are like that. There's people that have seen the movie and they'll say to me afterwards, yeah, but the pizza guy, like, that guy's real. And I'm like, yeah, it's like sure.
To you. There's like there's other people in the media that like refuse to be like, you know, to understand.
Well, yeah,
that
there's a scene in the movie like at the end they credits.
They can't find where the parallel worlds. They can't find that line.
Okay,
which is the point.
The end credits scene where we have like the guy Gord Martin. Now he's interviewing the guy, right? And Gord is like, he's like the legend.
He's incredible.
Oh, he's like. He's like Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather. He's that for Canada. So we met him at that TIFF event. So during when we were filming this movie, by the way, the movie is really like Adam and I are going to look for a killer, and we document us going to look for the killer. And in one of the scenes, we go to the Toronto Film Festival and make this like big announcement that we're like going to, we bungle it or whatever. But for real, while we were there, I'm wearing a wire. Adam's wearing a wire. We're walking around, we're mingling, we're pitching, we're schmoozing. Like, we shot so much stuff, Jamie, as you know, that's how it goes, right? And so much funny stuff, including that guy, Gord Martinow, ended up sitting at a table eating like bagels and eggs with
Lux.
Us.
It was Lux.
Lux and bagels with us. And he's like, what are you guys doing here? And I know that I'm being filmed. I have like two cameras pointing at me 50 feet away and 20 feet away. So I'm like working him and I'm like, yeah, we're trying to find this guy and he's a killer. And he's like, wow. And then Adam sits down. He's like, that's Gord Martinow. And I'm like, whoa. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm a journalist. I'd love to help you guys. And we're like, what do you mean? He's like, I've been to Vietnam. I've been to Iraq. I've go to the troops off. I knocked on Al Capone's door, whatever you need. Like, I'll help you guys. And we were like, holy shit. So we obviously couldn't really do that to Gord, but we called him when we were finished shooting the movie to shoot that scene and brought him in with the guy. And we shot the whole scene with him, right? Where he's calling us this and that. And then he comes up to us at the end of the day and he's like, we were like, thanks so much, Gord. It was an honor to work with you. And he's like, no problem, guys. But tell me, whatever happened to the guy? Like, did you find him?
The killer.
We're like, what?
Wait. The
killer. He's like, still holding on.
Wait a minute. So the scene, I don't want to give too much away, but the scene where you're talking to the crowd was worked. I think the people at the top were helping a work. Yes.
There's a word, but that's not the word.
That's not how we did
it. But there, we definitely shot like close-ups. Yes.
There's yeah, I know that angle. That was a pretty intricate one. I think I don't want to ruin it for this, but I will go through each and watch it with you and tell you where the work is and where the line is. That one was pretty fascinating because I know there was a lot of truth there, but I could see the work. No one else will.
Of course you could see it because you know, but I'm saying like nobody else has seen it. Like I think Chris Angel wouldn't even see it. Like
exactly. It's got that in it too. It's got Angel. It also has a little mouse in the, you know, mouth type of move.
I don't even know what that is.
Look. I know he'll know what that is. That's how Stu had his job for 6 years. Where did it go?
Okay.
You don't see it, right, buddy? Catch a packet. he gets it so much. Hold on.
Me and Jamie were in the elevator after. The camera follows us. Then the elevator door closes. Now it's just us and we're wearing our mics. And he's like, we were both like.
The mouse was right here. I saw. So look, it's an angel bit. But what? No, you just said something about the guy is. Oh, God, dude. I just had the thought. The movie you were just talking about. That scene. I don't fucking know. It was the guy.
But I think any which way you pitch the movie back to us or we tell people what the movie is, there's still no way that people understand. You can't ruin the film.
How did you come up with the movie? What?
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about the real way. Let's just be real. Okay, I want to be real.
A couple of things. There's three chain of events here. One, the explosion of true crime and us becoming like glued to the TV.
Got it.
And watching Making a Murderer and just immediately thinking Faking a Murderer. How can we do something here? Second of all, we had just filmed Jack of All Trades. It was a documentary. We had just gone through 5 years of shooting this style. And prior to that, we had done horror movies. So it was like, why don't we shoot a horror movie in this style where people will think it is real?
How long have you guys been together doing this company?
Six years.
Really? So it started.
We did two horror movies.
2015.
Yeah.
So your first movie was Scarecrow or House on the Left?
No, the first one was the haunted house on Kirby Road.
That was the first.
Okay.
Then Scarecrows. Then
which is also good. I forgot about that. I apologize. And Scarecrow got each movie gets better and better. So you did Scarecrow. Yeah.
And Jack of All Trades, which was the biggest one.
But that wasn't 5 year production.
No, well, we started filming it in 2016 and it came out in 2020, 2019. My point is, we were like knee deep in the process of the editing and the style and the shooting style and all of that.
What made you guys start this company?
Well, wait, hold on. One last thing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It's your show. Rodney's found a video online of this guy for real. And he had videos on his YouTube channel that had like 8 views, 12 views, nothing. But if you like watch the video, it's like, I fucking killed her. It's like the guy's just like fucking nuts.
Basically, he's like, yeah, he's sitting there in the dark with a little flame smoking cigarettes with his shirt off and mumbling and getting drunk. And so I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking weird. And so I took it together, edited like a whole piece and I made it into like a little, you know, reel. And I'm like, you know, this could be a guy. This guy could actually be a real killer.
And the crazy part is that when we pitched it to Hollywood Suite, we showed them the real guy and told them we're going to go find this guy, right? And so then when we finally got together to talk about, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second here. Why don't we just make our own guy and we'll make...
But let's not tell anybody.
We won't tell anybody. We'll just... They already think it's that guy. They're not going to remember what they saw. So we'll just reshoot all of that guy's videos, make a new YouTube channel.
And then control the environment.
And make views, though it says 8 views, so they remember that it's the same view count. And we made a whole new YouTube page called Bait and Tackle Mondays, which nobody still has found. And it still has 8 views, but it's up. And we reshot all the videos with this guy, and we proceeded to go on the investigation. And now we were in control of the entire thing, because now we know where we're going to end up. So now it's a matter of putting the pieces together on that journey, like you said, of how do we get to him. And we because of budgetary reasons, we can't hire actors. So
how much did it cost?
We did the movie for under around like $500,000.
That's a lot.
Mm. Canadian.
That's a lot of money.
Well, we had to get, you know, it was real. It was like a real deal. Like we had like an actual network. We had
the company sign off. Was that a real sign off?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Well, yeah. Well, where at the Breakthrough?
Place? No, at the burger place.
Yay. Everything is real. All those things.
But were they hemming and hawing?
Well, yeah, it's a kind of complex, but basically we went around the guy that said no to us and got them to say yes to us.
But we
How did you do that?
Because I had to go to the network to also get their input. And once they said that they were going to put their money in, I kind of had to play chess with the other guys and we put them together.
Like once we got the broadcast, we went and got the broadcast. Well, he went and got the broadcast license prior. So we now went back behind his back and we're like, we got the broadcast license.
But let's not tell. But we said we can't tell him.
Yeah, we didn't want him to know.
We can't tell him anything.
So we want to film with him.
The president of the company like didn't know that our movie was actually being filmed.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even know that this was going to be their next.
How did he feel that you went around him?
I don't know. We haven't seen him since.
Well, we had him sign a release.
Yeah, he signed a release.
And he knew that we were
I love him. He's a great guy. I'm sure he's okay with it, but I don't
cannot
know.
Believe that they signed off on that. But yeah. since you made it foolproof because you basically said, I already got a sale. How did you get a sale on something so crazy?
Because we went and we pitched the thing with the guy's video and we're going to go look for it. And like, I think I don't even think they understood what we were pitching. I just think they loved the show that we were putting on in the room that they were like, oh, these guys are going to go look for a killer.
We went in there. Well, no. We
see what happens.
We went in there and we sold them as like this was happening in real time.
Yeah.
And that we were going to go and do this. And once they were like taken back, we're like, holy shit. We knew that we had them hooked and we went out and started filming and there was only one person from each company that actually knew because for insurance purposes and all that stuff. And we had to tell one person, but everyone else and all the crew had to sign NDAs.
Even people who appeared in the movie like didn't know what we were doing before we got there, after we got
there. Oh, I know. We had
scripts distributed. The only people who knew exactly what was going on was Stu and I.
That was it.
That was it.
Wait a minute. What about the camera crew?
Nothing.
They only.
What happens when they saw something crazy? They went with it?
Yeah, yes. Well, we wanted them to be reactive when they shot.
But they were pretty fucking brave then.
Oh, they're great. They're the best.
But I don't know what I want to give away here. Okay, if you don't want spoilers, stop. I mean,
obviously, at some point in the movie, the camera crew knows what's up. For sure.
Yeah, so at what point did you have a sit down with them?
No, we had to. But when we moved to the location, when we go to the place, we had to let those two guys in because we were going to bring in the assistant who is real to come and look for the trunk, the body in the trunk.
Yeah, she was tripping. That was awesome. I knew that.
I said to Stu, I'm like, the only way that this movie really gets put over right now is this scene sells and we could actually, you know, manipulate her to think that this is actually happening in real time. Oh. Those reactions are going to be fucking priceless. Like people that will make the movie.
We're referencing a scene in the movie where our real life assistant, we have her go with us at like in the middle of the night to the scariest place you could imagine and go look in the trunk of a car for a body. And she really does it.
Meanwhile,
but we primed her though, Jamie, because we had a whole storyline with her that got edited out, but like we took her out at the middle of the night a lot to find nothing. So she would be used to going out. Ah, false alarm. So we took her on so many. We had her running around looking for this and that and the other thing. Like
pick up her laundry, do this, like random runs.
She was so caught up in it that she just totally bought what we were doing. And when we gave her the job, the job interview, so to speak, was filmed. And we were like, listen, there's going to be crazy shit. Are you down to do anything? And she's like, yes. And we're like, are you sure? She's like, yes. I'm like, we're looking for a killer. If we like find the killer, like you're going to run. And she's like, no.
Yeah. No, she was like, yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, she said she wasn't going to run, but she did run.
Did she quit?
Yeah,
yes, she quit. She's done.
Is she back now or no?
No. We haven't even, you know, I think we actually want to interview her because we haven't talked to her since the movie actually.
She's doing very well though. So since that movie, she's now like a producer of music videos and commercials now. She's like blowing up.
Does she hate you?
I don't think she hates us.
I don't think
us.
So. But we're going to interview her.
I don't
find
hate
out.
Her. I think she's the best. I thought she was so brave.
Of course you don't hate her because she gave you good cinema.
Yeah, of course. But I'll tell you, like, even when you, like, when I come in and deliver the weapons, like, I had to, like,
that was planned too.
We had to, like, I'm like, she has to get the shoulder pads. I have to force, like, magic. We have to create a force where she's going to take the shoulder pads. He's going to take this. I'm going
to
keep
this
knife.
Everybody has to act like it's totally normal for him to be handing out tennis rackets, or else she's not going to buy it. So it's like, I think you taught me this, but you can't rely on people who aren't actors to act, or else people will see right through it.
And so
that's why you need the real people to be real. So
we shouldn't even tell actors when the camera's running either.
And we didn't do that either. So when we pitched, when we pitched to our family before, like the way we did it with them is we were like, listen, before we roll camera, we want to fill you guys in on what's going on.
Yeah.
The whole speech. And then we finished the spiel and they're like, okay, we're ready to film. And we're like, no, we got it. We got it. Like they didn't even know that we were filming. And we had code words that only Adam and I knew to like, and one of the camera guys knew if we said pineapple juice, that means roll. We had tape over the red light always. It was so stealthy.
We went to town, man. And $500K wasn't a lot of money. Like we had a couple of toys that we could come out with. Like
we actually spent the money on the toys.
We spent the money, but you see me spend the money. Like it's all very meta. Like I'm getting a Russian arm, you know, car to come do a car chase.
And we paid a lot of money for this Russian arm to come. And
drones.
We didn't even use the Russian arm footage in the movie. It's like plays for 1 second in the credits.
And the Russian like, what?
It's like a fucking Mercedes-Benz with a crane on it and the camera. And
it's for car chase. It's a car chase.
It's like a car chase, like super camera. And we played with it for a whole day. It was like 75 grand or something.
It wasn't that much, but
it was like pretty stupid. And we didn't end up using the footage in the movie. We also threw a party for Adam's birthday and spent a bunch of money and brought in like we filmed the whole party and none of that made the movie.
That doesn't seem like that. that seems like a little bit. You're basically talking about shuffling funds here. You basically said I just had a party for Adam. Exactly. So what ended up on the screen?
It was supposed to be on the screen. Like the broadcaster was like, we don't need to see you guys party.
He's like, we just want to get to the
chase. It was a really funny scene. We had like me and Adam sitting in the chair getting lifted. It was like it was so funny. But they didn't people were doing drugs. We had the crew member. Well, the
crew was drunk.
The crew was drunk. We filmed the crew like drinking. It was like a really fucking awesome scene. And
we have a cut too. Like I'm like we're like on like you know doing the horror slow-mo. Yeah. I'm like making it rain with dollar bills.
But just showing how awful we are with the money. Like it was so great. But
how is the movie doing financially?
So we don't get reports yet because it just came out in the US a week ago, but we got picked up, you know, on a pretty wide VOD release. So the movie can be rented like through Apple TV, Amazon Prime, I think like every major VOD.
And we also got picked
you
up.
You got, and has Netflix looked at it yet?
Not yet. I don't think But we have. Just got a theatrical. We're going to go to theaters in Australia and New Zealand in October, which is cool.
And then UK picked it up. And Australia is doing this like crazy immersive experience. In Australia, they're doing like an immersive like escape room thing where like you go to the escape room, it's all true crime and found footage. Then you get to the room and it's me and Adam. We already filmed this thing for them. Like, hey, you made it to this part of the room. Now, once you go through these doors, you're going to help us find a killer. Like, that, you know, and then they go watch the movie. It's like a whole like $40 ticket event.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, hopefully it flies. It's really tough, man. Listen, we got people who have watched the movie love it. Now we just need to find the audience. And, you know, it's like we've always been like the little engine that could, and we have to keep pushing. It's like, there's never just because Jack of all trades did well, it didn't make this necessarily any easier. It's like the fight's even harder.
Did Jack of all trades make its money back?
Yeah, sure. It profited. It did very well. Yeah. We were able to finance that off like the Canadian government and their grants and the support of a broadcaster and tax credits. And we profited and we got paid. It took a long time to get the money. But it came this year, actually.
I don't think you guys have lost money yet in the movies. Have you lost any money yet?
No, thank God.
Now, who's seen it in Hollywood that can help? Forget me and stuff like any tastemakers.
It's funny because we just got a call. I guess, and I know you rant about this stuff all the time, but we actually just got a call. And we have a call after this with a Hollywood agent that is called.
You don't want to say the name? Give me a rhyme. It rhymes with
Hirsch.
Well, the thing about them is they're an independent shop and they've been around forever, and that guy's an OG and they have good taste. So listen, the right person in that building, moves can be made.
Yeah, I mean, so, we'll see what happens, but you know, obviously, we got really like.
I also think we're not just like, and not. I don't mean to. I mean, we're not like going there as like on camera talent, being like they're going. They want to rep our company and like help us package and like we're no, we're not. You know, considered like actors on their roster. We're considered producer writers on their roster in a company to build creative.
Listen, I think that's cool. I mean, you know, as long as the phone gets picked up, you know how I feel.
I totally agree, but I.
But you've already made anyone's job much easier. I mean, this is like a calling card. You already had one calling card. Now you got a double card.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we just like need the audience. So it's like when people watch it, if you do watch it, like spread the word, like that you watched it, because like this is one of those word of mouth movies that, like, you know, Jack of all trades. That's how it happened for us. Out of nowhere, Jeff Garland saw the movie and he loved it. He threw out a tweet like, this is the best movie. And then all of a sudden the movie went to number one on iTunes. And then Netflix called after they already passed on the movie twice.
Yeah,
they called and then they picked it up. So it's like that could happen now. I don't know. It's like we didn't plan. I don't know, Jeff. You know, I know him from seeing him with you, but I don't know him. And so it's like that was him on his own organically doing that. So it's like, you know, I've tried to send it out to people, like all the people I know. But, you know, getting people to watch it, I don't know. I can't like force them to watch it. So hopefully someone's going to stumble on it. But until then, we're just going to keep plugging
but
away
we also,
like we do.
And we rely on, like, you know, the true crime community we're getting reached out to. We like a lot of, like, horror outlets are taking it. They love it. And the critics love it, which is great. But it's really, you know, as you know, it's like.
If there's still haters, too, by the way. There's
of like- course. Hold on. But before we get into that, it's fucking hard as anyone, all three of us, you guys know more than me, but it's fucking hard to, like, get people to watch your shit. Especially when you don't have a Netflix platform where everyone's just watching it. It's up to Stu and I to like go out there and fucking advertise on our social medias.
Yeah, you gotta find faking a murder. You gotta find faking a murder. It's not just like staring at you in the face the way Jack of all trades was. So
you gotta get it in the right little pods and stuff, and you gotta get it in those tastemakers. You gotta get it in the Dread Central.
Yeah,
and you gotta get it to Ain't It Cool News and all of those guys because they'll like
Dread Central
it.
Loved it. Dread Central was our sponsor at
the
premiere.
That
right?
Screening was Dread Central.
They hosted that thing. They loved that. We've been getting a lot of love, horror buzz, and
the horror speak people love us. So we love them. It's like it's been a very good relationship. They've supported our other horror movies. They love this one. It's been pretty good with the horror people. So that's
do you have a publicist yet?
We work with the PR firm for this release.
Someone's gotta like get you like a big publication.
Yeah.
You know, here's what I would say, because I don't want to say too much about the movie, because I just don't. I think it's better to like talk to you guys. But
yeah,
everybody watching and listening to this pod right now, go see this movie. It's called Faking of a Murderer. And what I can't stress enough is how original it is.
Thank you. Well,
it is. It's just so original and it's so entertaining. And I was never bored. And I mean, if the world locks down again, you should be on the top of your list. But even if not, I mean, it's like, I'm taking for me, man. Like, if you believe me, if you believe Randy, you know, would like this movie, Randy loved this movie. You know what I mean? And it's
that's
like,
that's best, a great quote, by the way.
We got to put that on the fucking
Randy would love this movie.
He would. And it's like, because I'm like more and more now, I'm realizing how the birth of Meta really happened with Randy, and that was because of Kevin Williamson and Wes. And now this movie is very much,
well, it's funny,
very Meta. Like Adam just said, like it is Meta. Like it's so many levels to it.
People who listen to and watch your podcast are obviously a fan of Jamie Kennedy, or else they wouldn't be here. So this would be a great time for us to like put you over because you've been putting us over. But really, you did it. This is definitely inspired by you for sure. Like there's no mistake about it. Like this style of filmmaking, I learned, and Adam was right there with us from you. You know, when we did Blowing Up, the first day on set, I was like stiff as a board, and we were shooting guns in a gun range, and you were like, "Bro, what the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, "What?" You're like, "Be you. Camera's not here, man. Be you."
I did say that a lot, didn't I?
And
you were like, "Hey, why do you want to grab this gun? Yeah. This gun is hot. It could shoot a bullet." I'm like, "Who's talking right now?"
And then the day, you know, by the end of the day, it was like smooth sailing and we fucking rocked it. But also Jamie Kennedy experiment, all that stuff. But just the way that your sort of mind critically breaks down how to pull shit off and the way you like to challenge yourself.
other people don't get that.
I could also
it's a challenge. It's easy to go up and tell jokes and be funny. You make it even harder for yourself by putting yourself in circumstances with real people and you're in disguises and this and that and the other thing. It's a whole other thing. It's people can't just do that.
I could say that I'm much younger than all you guys.
You could say that.
But I look up to you. And I actually looked up to James, you dude, when I was, you know, a kid watching your show on the WB.
Wow, we found out two things. Adam looked up to you and his mother won Star Search Canada.
That's true. But for real, I was a huge fan of yours when I didn't know you. And, you know, when Stu was like, dude, I'm working with Jamie Kennedy. I'm like, holy fuck, that's pretty fucking dope. And he's like, why don't you come down and like work with us and like just be part of it? And I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. So
that's work. Adam, and that's not work. Just drinking off my bottle.
That's right. Which there were those nights, but I would say
And marries Dina.
That's not true. Actually, Jamie and I, actually you left. I was working for Jamie and we
work
at his office. And I was actually the president of Jamie Kennedy Entertainment Canada.
Oh my God.
We had an operation going for a minute.
I had the deal.
I had my back too. You guys didn't even tell me that.
And, I had a business card and it was great.
Rodness's beak was getting wet.
And my mom was really proud of me. And it was fucking awesome. But I would say like, this has come full circle and I'm happy. I'm like, it's awesome that we're having this conversation right now. And yeah, you're definitely a huge reason for this. And I'm so happy that we could fucking celebrate it with you.
Yeah. Right, it was such a big surprise to have you actually show up to the screening, because you go nowhere and I invite you all the time. And second of all, for you to come up and make a whole spiel like you did, it was like, really,
was that too much?
No. And also you've like never put me over like that ever. So it was like, wow, this is like, he must've really liked this.
And I was like feeling so like, I don't know. It's been a year and a half. I haven't seen any humans. Yeah. I haven't seen you guys forever.
Yes, it was really nice of you.
And it was beautiful. Like I saw Gelbart, and he gave me like an air hug. And I'm damn, me and Gelbart are cool. And little Jamie like says, you know, wear your mask online to me. But then he gave me a hug. So it's like whatever was happening. And Trugman, you know, gave me.
But it was a big love fest. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was a great, we reunited like everyone from that era, which was fucking. It was awesome.
Every head was there. I mean, you guys brought every head. The only head wasn't there were heads that couldn't be there. If you know what I'm saying? Force them out. I mean, I don't want to say it another one, but there's a third I forgot that wasn't there. It's from MySpace. I'll probably have to cut it. Forbidden. Jesus God, force them out again. But I know I'm going to edit that. But I mean, what I'm saying is every head was there and I don't go out. But and the movie was so good.
But the fact that
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for that, Adam. That's very sweet of you. And I had no idea. And obviously, Stu, I love you too. And I love you guys. And I think it was
like the
incredible. I was moved. Why was my name in the credits? I'm like, what did I do? I didn't deserve that.
But you don't understand.
You
have the effect, man. You've been in the fucking. You're fucking,
in the credits of all of our movies.
Yeah. If you don't notice, you don't watch them.
I didn't.
Number one. except for this
the
one.
First one all of them. this is the first time you've made it to the credits.
I could tell all the listeners too. We went and I'm not, you know, we don't want to wet each other's beaks, but it's good to say positive things about each other. But like we went, I mean, I literally went through the school of, you know, the Jamie Kennedy experiment school of acting, producing and seeing how shit was done on the major level. And that was fucking dope.
Like Adam's hustle is on fire, but Jamie, you're like the ultimate hustler also. And you know, I'm a hustler. I think that's that hustle loyalty mentality is strong. It's strong here, but I think for us to have you come and watch it and love it, it's like the teacher saw the student, like this is like our thesis, you know,
right.
Here.
And one more thing. Sorry. One more thing. There was something from you wrote a book. And there was something from your book, and you said that you
Marty Power.
Decided to call up and use an alter ego to get
Marty
yourself.
Power.
Yeah, Marty Power. And I took that mentality, and that's how I actually started this company for real with cold calling and putting on this, you know, bravado voice and, you know, making it. I was, 20 something trying to get this meeting?
This is Phil Simmons calling from out of Broadway's office.
How old are you? 37 or 38?
I'll be 38 next week. But I was.
So you were not 20s. You were 31, Adam, when you started your company.
started the company, yeah, but the company was formed then, but I was pitching and getting these deals before. For years. We didn't have the company because we got the deals, right?
Okay.
We actually incorporate a company and make it legit. Anyways, I took that from you and it worked out. So here we are.
And who, what was your name?
Eric Glassman.
Eric Glassman. And now that's the third thing.
You used Marty. So Eric Glassman's Marty's kid.
Yeah, or nephew. Yeah.
Eric Glassman calling. I got Adam Rondas.
No joke, dude. I swear on my mother's life, that's what I did. And I had an email account and everything, and it fucking worked.
Wow.
What voice did you use?
I just used my voice. I was just this. They don't know Adam Rodness. Like, oh, no, wait. No, that's Adam Rodness' voice. I just, like, lowered my voice a bit and just kind of talked like this.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm the only one that got placed into this world and didn't have to do that shit.
But I kicked down doors, and I learned it from you.
Wow, dude. Come on. That means a lot, dude. I appreciate it. That's very kind of you. So I have to comment on Stu. He got placed in this world. You know, the game tickle the worm till he throws up. Do I have to edit that out? That's funny. I'm sorry. Did I go too far?
I could go there too, though. But Stu is also, I mean, Stu is responsible for all of this because
of course,
without Stu, there's no this conversation. You guys have history and Stu and I, you know, have our own history and best friends. And I married his sister and now he's the uncle to my daughters and, you know, we're legally bound and company wise and also family wise, but he's, you know, I had to convince him to, he had to convince my mom to have me come out to LA too. It's like, no, it's fine. He's under my wing. It's okay. I got it. Don't worry about it.
Hollywood. When you were like 21 at my house.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he
listen, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I could go on there. I don't want to get just two stories.
He used to have all those accessories. He would have like the leather bracelet.
Fucking worked. With the leather I killed it. I used to kill it.
Six rings.
Remember I used to pull up to your house on Fairfax with a woman in a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
She would pick me up in his yellow Lambo.
Yeah, I do.
Who was that?
I don't know. Just a woman I met. And she was hot. And she like used to pick me up.
And then he married me.
I remember that. And you had like a toque.
Yeah, I had the
Yeah, he did have a toque.
Late July, early August.
Summer leather, summer toque.
I went to Colin Farrell launch.
Shout out to Summer Leather, by the way, if he's watching.
Dude, that stuff.
It was that one and the other guy. It was ladies love that. We go to like Ledoux and you'd have a toque on.
Dude, and it was, you're like, who's the guy with the toque?
You had a toque, and it was
like a dream catcher necklace.
Yeah. You had a couple of leather things, and I'm like,
cucks.
And it was like the hand with the leather would reach over and get the like little like glass of vodka, and the other hand would pour it. And you start with a six and work your way up to an eight. And it was good. It was a good move. I saw the hustle.
And then he married my sister.
That's funny.
That's what's crazy is he got married. That's a whole other ball of wax. Yeah. I know, to your sister. I know. Well, first of all, that's very kind of you guys. So I appreciate you giving me a little love. And I was going to say so much, but I forget now because.
Watch the movie. We can do this again.
It has the GPM experiment. It has blowing up in it. It has, you know. That's the thing. It's like blowing up. I don't know if you know this, Adam. We sat with the president of MTV and they showed me and Stu and they said there was four covers.
The Osbournes.
On MTV of Rolling Stone. And it had the Osbournes, Nick and Jessica, Punk'd.
Yeah, I guess.
And then an empty cover. And me and Stu are like, what's the empty one? And they go, you guys are going to go there.
They did say that.
And then we were like, because I had success, but I was never on the cover. I've been in Rolling Stone, but I never on that cover. And I was like, and then.
Wow. I never heard this story.
Yeah. We premiered and Steve Nash, shout out to fellow Tuke, had the game of the century and went to like a triple overtime.
Yeah.
And we premiered against like Steve Nash's triple overtime win in like the first finals or whatever. And it was like.
Still did a 1.3 or 1.6, which is like.
Did a 1.6, but then when it ended, everyone went right to the Hills.
Yeah.
So it was like us, then the Hills.
Yeah.
And you've heard of the Hills, but have you heard of blowing up?
Right.
Right.
Like, dude, think about that. So much of this game is just, I mean, I hate to say it, but David Glasser's right. He's like, a good product is only 25%. It's like a good title, a good date, good marketing. And it's just luck too. I mean, it's like there's four or five moves, you know, so we can only control one. So the good news is you guys have this incredible product and an original idea. And I think if it gets on Netflix, I think it's a no brainer.
Well, let's try to
put that energy out. Write it on your mood board.
Yes.
Yeah. When I came up to put you guys over like that, it was because I was so moved by the movie and I was so touched. You guys kept shouting me out and I was like, I got to say something. And then when I did, everyone was kind of like sitting there and they were like, I'm like, this movie's so good. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, they didn't it kind of made me mad. Like I wanted to lock the doors, start throwing stuff at them. Like they didn't realize what you just did. Like you made something so original, so unique, so bizarre, so funny. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like,
I think you have to watch the movie two or three times to really fucking understand, because yeah, like each time right you away. Watch it, it's different, and you'll notice some shit.
You got it right away. Okay. No,
of course I get it, but it's listen. I would sit with you guys all day, man. But
enjoy your pudding, man.
What is that? What it looks like?
Is that Ovaltine?
What is that?
No, I haven't eaten all day, dude. And Dr. Dean's got me on this new diet.
Dr. Dean's back.
Levine West and Dr. Dean got me on turmeric, so I kind of had an issue earlier, but now I'm hungry. You know what I'm saying? No, dude, it's better than what you're doing.
Once a day in a pill form?
No, you put it in your coffee.
Oh, okay.
You just went, the government said like this, oh, here, give me your fucking Deltoid. And you're like, here you go, government. All right, I'll do my own way.
We're like, Dr. Dean says take this. And you're like, yeah, let's do it.
Dude, the guy, he cracked me last night. I feel incredible. The guy's 57-year-old.
But does
he's
he like
ripped. And but the guy lives in a boner.
But
he's got a boner.
But does
the guy 57, his boner never goes down. So you tell me.
But does he like the Eagles minus 7.5?
Listen, he's got a gig. I got him a gig at Mimi's Cafe 2 weeks ago. I gave him a guest spot. Mimi's opened up the back rooms where they store the pies.
He's doing guest spots?
Dr. Dean's hilarious. You know Dr. Dean.
I didn't know he was going up.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was just cracking backs in every possible way.
Oh, you know Dr. Dean. Jesus Christ. But anyway, dude, I got to edit that out. He's going to come for you. Dr. Dean, Mimi's turned into a 52-seater. It was beautiful. In Valencia.
I got to check that out.
But listen, I can't believe it's over an hour. We just did this.
Yeah, we're done. We can do this again.
Listen, I want to really just tell people you got to watch this movie.
Shout out to Dean.
Faking a murderer.
Faking a murderer. You guys got to go watch it. VOD and all this stuff. I'll put that out. It's such a good, unique movie, man. And I think it's, if anything, and I hate to say this in a weird way, even if it's just your calling card, I want it to be as successful as it deserves to be. But even if it's your calling card and Hollywood looks at you guys as a creative team, you're already winning.
Yeah.
Thanks,
you know what I'm saying? And I think that it could be good. And I'm excited to make.
We're excited to work with you.
It would be nice to work with projects with you. It would be nice to be able to work with projects with people that I love and that have power. And we don't have to sit here and fucking.
And I think the other thing that there is between us that would be good is that there's this trust. Like we do have history. Take history aside. Like you trust our comic instincts. We trust your comic instincts. There's already a trust there that we could make some magic together, and we will again.
I would love that.
I think very soon.
I would love that.
All right. Well. We'll
all talk, right.
Man, thank you so much. You're the man. Et cetera, et cetera. Get your vax. We love you.
Yo, love you guys, seriously, and it was right. Fucking great, and I really appreciate the kind words.
Are you gonna say our names before we go again? Are you gonna say
Adam Rodison's Stu Stone? Okay, 5-7 films. What are you doing? I was giving you a compliment. Yeah. You fucking jumped in the middle of it. Like, no, told me how to compliment you.
I was just waiting. I didn't know that was your extra. Go ahead, sorry.
But it's awesome. I'm so hungry. I got Chipotle. I'm desperate. I gotta get a plane at 9. So but listen, this is incredible. Seriously, guys. Like everyone, go check out their movie. Go follow. Give me your socials.
Shout out your socials. At Adam Rodness.
57films.com.
And at fakingamurderer_movie.
Where can they see it? Just VOD?
Apple TV and Amazon Prime.
Two okay. sources. Plus, like all the other ones, Dish TV, Direct TV, Cox. Fandango, Cox, Vudu,
Spectrum.
Wherever you watch movies, you could get it.
If I could tell you this, the two movies I had come out during the pandemic, Last Call and Roe v. Wade, the amount of comments on Amazon are in the thousands.
Yeah.
That's insane. So that means the movie, I'm going to meet with the producers on Saturday and find out, but I bet they made money. So I think it's, you're going to more than make your money. Trust me.
I'd like to talk to you offline about what their next project's going to be.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. I can't even wait to see what that's going to be. Good luck.
You know.
Enjoy your salad. Thanks for having us.
Love you guys. Fucking great, man. Thank you so much. Right. Awesome job.
Peace.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.